And today, turn with me to Matthew chapter 7 in your Bible or your iPhones or iPads. If you're watching at home, we have YouVersion on your phones. You can see the outline there as well. And I want to do something a little different today. Maybe it's not going to sound different to you, but the style in which I do it is different because a lot of times I like to come and give you some encouragement. I like to give you the truth, obviously, the whole truth and nothing but it. And sometimes we got to, you know, they always say sometimes you need a little sugar to help the medicine go down, right? And sometimes when God speaks, we don't always like what he says, but it's still truth. Amen? Right? And but today what I want to do is I want to come at it from a kind of a slightly different angle. I want to kind of parallel two different people in the Bible. Same story, but in Matthew chapter 7, it tells us about this story about, and it's one that we probably learned about a long time ago when in Sunday school, a wise man built his house upon the rock. Are you with me? Remember that? Yeah. And the rains came a-tumbling down. And if it wasn't that, then it was the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And when the rains came, it washed his house out. Now, we know the song. We've heard the Sunday school stories. But what I want to ask you to do is not, please don't check your brain at the door and go, I know where this is going. I need to be wise and quit being so foolish. Well, yes. But there's more to it than that, because if you don't know how, or here's another thing, if you're being foolish and you don't know it, who's going to point that out to you? Who's going to show that to you? Well, the Holy Spirit has a way. Have you ever found out the Holy Spirit has a way of revealing stuff to you that if somebody else were to tell you, you'd be in a fight or an argument, but the Holy Spirit tells you and you're like, oh, I can see that. You know, because that's the Holy Spirit. That's his job. He's the comforter. He comes and he reveals. Here's what it says in the book of Matthew. It says, therefore, this is Jesus speaking, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him as a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains descended, the floods came, the wind blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house in the sand. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew, it beat on that house, and it fell. And it says, and great was its fall. Great was its fall. In the book of Matthew here, Jesus has just concluded, we've just concluded with one of the greatest sermons, Sermon on the Mount, and he does this with the truth about two men and leads into this story. A wise man did this, a foolish man did this. These two men raise a question in this story, and the question is simply this. What kind of foundation are you building on? Think about that. What kind of foundation are you building on? Only you can answer that for you, because you can tell me what you think I want to hear, but the reality is you got to go home with you. So you got to answer to yourself, what kind of foundation are you building on this morning? And that's the question this morning, because as you know, it's all about foundation, right? Or at least it should be. Let me put it to you this way. When you buy a house, if you're looking for a house, and you go to a house and you find three cracks in the foundation, are you more willing to buy that house over one who's got a firm foundation? Well, no, because we don't want foundations that shift. We don't want houses that leak. Lisa and I, when we lived at the other house up on the north end, we bought a house knowing it had one corner that had a leak in it, but we had a plan, and the plan was we weren't going to do anything except call somebody, and I think it was Illawa or something like that, and they came and they waterproofed the basement. They fixed the foundation so that there was no more problem, because if you don't fix these foundations, eventually it erodes the whole house. Because if your foundation's no good, no matter what you put on top of it, it's going to cave in. It's going to blow away. Now, these two men, I want to talk about them in terms of comparison, the wise man, the foolish man. There's a contrast. And it's going to lead us to a clear conclusion. So I'm just going to make a number of observations this morning that we know, but we're going to make them in light of asking ourselves this morning, how am I lining up in my relationship with Jesus, in my walk with him? Here's the first observation. Write this down. These two men shared the same vision. When you read the story, you find out that these two men shared the same vision. It says in verse 24, the wise man who built, and in verse 26, it says the foolish man who built. So they both had a vision. Note that these two men, it was the same vision. They were building a house. Their dreams were the same. Their longings were the same. Their desires were the same. What makes these men alike is their view on the future. It was on par for course. They were doing well. They were getting the job and they were making some money and life appeared to be pretty good, you know, and they were attempting to build. So that's the one thing that they had in common. They had a same vision. You could relate maybe that to they were building and wanting to erect something in their life. You probably feel the same way. I mean, all of us want our life to count for something, don't we? You know, we know that God's given us a purpose, and though we may struggle with that at times, we all want to make our mark on this world somehow or some way. We want to build something, but what are you building on? What kind of foundation is it that you have? Maybe you're thinking of your family. Maybe you're thinking of your personal life. Maybe you're thinking of an avenue and ministry, whatever that means. What are you building on? Not what are you building, but what are you building on? It has to start there. Just like in building any good house, you don't start with the roof first. You start with the foundation first. You want to maybe today say you want a family that's strong and stable and vibrant, alive, committed. You want all that. You want a ministry, whatever that means. It all fits into this brief story right here because it all comes down to foundation. These men had the same vision. So there's nothing wrong with that, is there? Is there anything wrong with having vision? Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, God says that he wants us to gain vision and direction in life. So these men had the same vision. Now, here's the next observation. Write this down. Both men listened to divine truth. Both men did. The wise man and the foolish man. It says in verse 24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings. So he says, if you're hearing this, you're hearing me. You're hearing truth. God, Jesus was speaking to them, so they were hearing divine truth. You don't get any better than this, by the way, because both men were in the same classroom being taught by the same professor, okay? So it doesn't get any better than this. When the written word is communicated by the living word, it doesn't get any better than that. So they're hearing divine truth. There was no mistake here. Both men understood this. They had Jesus himself as their professor. So both men, they were oriented to listening to divine truth. They were both students of the word. Both men were committed, by the way, to making themselves available to input in their lives. So we're not talking about one man who has a love for hearing truth and input into their life versus another man who hated it. But that's how I grew up believing for a while. The wise man builds on rock, foolish man builds on sand. I always read it as, well, obviously the foolish man is just, you know, doesn't know Jesus, doesn't love Jesus, doesn't have relationship with him, and the wise man does. That I'm just sharing with you what I thought. Doesn't mean that you had to think of that way. But I learned over time that, and I'm going to say something that, I'm going to say it and just, we'll see where it goes. You know, if I step on your toes, I'm not trying to, but I've met some Christians who are foolish. Is that okay? You guys all right? Nobody throwing Bibles at me? Okay. What I mean by that is this. I'm not saying, you know, you fool. I'm saying that sometimes if we don't pay attention to the foundation, though we love Jesus with all our heart, and though we want to you know, glorify him with our lives, there's still sometimes areas where we've done foolish, said foolish, or have just established foolish thinking in our foundation. Because here it says these two men, they had the same vision. They had the same teacher. So they wanted input into their life. So it's not one man who was loving on Jesus and one man was hating on him. As a matter of fact, the word of God kind of makes it clear that you really couldn't tell these two apart. They were very similar in many, many ways. And they were exposed to this divine truth. Here's another observation. Write this down. Both men faced the same storm. They faced the same storm. It says in verse 25, and the rain descended. Now, I know you're probably thinking, as I probably would have if I were hearing a preacher preach it, Pastor, how do you know they live in the same neighborhood? You know, you can't know that they live in the same town. Well, I don't know if they live in the same block. I don't know if they live in the same town, but I don't know exactly where their homes were located, but I do know this. I know that they experienced the same storm. And so if they experienced the same storm, they had to be in somewhat close proximity to one another because they're both going through this. So we know this because the scripture describes the storm It's very precise in both cases. It says this is what happened. It says it affected both of the men. Both men were subject to the same storm, which meant they had to be in reasonable proximity to one another. So might I say this today too, though? Everybody here is affected by a storm, right? We all go through storms in life. We all face difficulties. Everybody here is affected by a negative reality of life, or an avenue of ministry, or you know, struggles that you face. It may not be the same exact storm. My storm might look different than your storm, but can we all agree everyone's going to get rained on? Can we agree on that? We're going to experience that. It may look different, but I wish I could tell you, as you'll hear me say later, I wish I could tell you the Bible says, come to Jesus and you'll have no more problems. But it doesn't say that. It says you're still going to get rained on. You're still going to have some of these storms that come into your life. Life has moments where it just makes you cry. And many times, if you don't have a strong foundation, you can make wrong assumptions. Well, God must not like me. What did I do to anger him? I'm not good enough or valuable enough, or you know, or he's ashamed of me. And we make these wrong assumptions when God never said that. He said just the opposite. What might be wrong is our foundation. And we find out that these two men, they experienced the same storm. Here's the next observation that's kind of interesting. But these two men possessed two different characters. Now, we've already talked about them. Verse 24 says, there's a wise man who built. Verse 26 says, there's a foolish man who built. So he said, these men had the same vision. They had the same teacher, divine truth. They had the same storm they were going through, but they had a different character about them because one was wise and one was foolish. These comparisons, they're just paralleled there. And to the first man he calls wise, to the second man he calls foolish. Now, let me tell you something I learned, and this is just interesting to me. If you don't like it, it's okay. Just forget it after I say it. But I don't know a lot of fancy stuff and Greek and all that stuff, but I know how to go find it, okay? That's just, I know how to do that. And so I get interested in that. So I went and looked for it, because you know the Bible wasn't written in English, right? You know, you had to back with the Hebrew, Greek, all the translations that that took place. And when I looked up the word wise, I'm not even going to try to attempt to say the Greek word to you, okay? Because if you've looked at any Greek words, these are jacked up. I practiced, just to let you know. I practiced pronouncing the words, and I forgot them completely by this morning. But I can tell you what the word meant. The word, and I put it in your outline, so if you want to look it up, you can. But the word when he says wise is this. He means prudent, sensible, or advisable. And so when I read that, I hear a wise and prudent, sensible, advisable man built his house upon the rock. So then I obviously wanted to go look at what the foolish man, what that means. And I was interested at what I found. I mean, it means this. The Greek word is it means goofy, crass, witless. And here's a word I never thought I'd find in there, and you're probably never going to hear at church very much, but the word moron. It's in there, okay? So I'm not making this stuff up. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus said the moron built his house on the sand. I'm not saying Jesus did that, you know, idiot, what's he thinking? But it's where we derive our word moron when we're talking to people in a negative way. And so you look at it and you say, the foolish man, the man who is just, he was goofy in his thinking and very crass and didn't want to listen to anybody. See, notice this, that both men wanted to build the same thing. Both men experienced the same storm, yet one is called wise and the other is called foolish. What makes the difference? The answer is foundations. It was all about the foundations. Wisdom is this, by the way. Wisdom in Scripture is the ability to take divine truth and apply it to your life. That's it. So literally being wise is not really that hard. It just requires us being willing to do it. So a wise person has the ability to take divine truth and apply it to life. The fool in Scripture is not necessarily a person who doesn't have the information or lacks information. It is the person who does little or nothing with the information that they've already received. That's what a foolish person is. And Proverbs is full of the whole, here's what the wise man does, here's what the fool does. My mom asked me to read Proverbs when I kind of got my life right with the Lord. Well, not kind of, I did get my life right with the Lord. She said, Jimmy, will you read a proverb a day? And I was like, yes. I didn't want to, but I wanted to make mom happy, you know? And so I start reading, and when I read it, it says, the wise man does this, but the fool does this. And I was like, ooh, strike one. A wise man does this, but a fool does this. And I'm like, strike two. And I found out as I read that, I became a little bit depressed because I thought, I'm doing all the foolish things. Now here's where it's the game changer, so to speak. You can read that and say, look at me, I do all the foolish things, I do all the stupid things. See, I'm not worthy, God must not love me. No, that's a pity party, okay? What I did was I had to choose to look at it and say, I'm doing all the foolish things. What can I do about it? I can start doing the wise things. And just by literally taking the divine truth and applying it to my life, I become wise. Are you here today and you'd say, man, I wish people thought I was wise. I wish people would look at me and say, they've got some wisdom in this area. You know how you get there? Take the truth that you already know and apply it to your life. The divine truth. Not just the truth of what mom and dad said. Not just the truth of what your boss said. Not just the truth of what, you know, your best friend said. The truth, divine truth of what God's word says. He doesn't want you to be religious. He doesn't want you prancing around being weird. He wants a relationship with you. And when you apply that truth, he says wisdom comes. So these two men, they were fundamentally different. Don't get me wrong. They both had dreams. They both had training. They both had storms. And on the outside, they would have looked like Siamese twins. When you looked at them, you'd see two people and go, hey, they look good, man. They got a house. They got that nice white picket fence in front of it. They must be doing good. You know, we start making assumptions. They got a car. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with having a nice house. There's nothing wrong with having a white picket fence. There's nothing wrong with, you know, having those things. The point is simply this. When that becomes a means to an end, when it's all about that, that's a very flimsy foundation. Your foundation's based on what you have, rather than who you have. See, God wants to bless us. He wants to give us things. But he doesn't want us to have those without having a strong, or what the Bible calls, a firm foundation. So while these men had all that same stuff, they did not have the same foundation. They did not. So the two men had different foundations. If I didn't tell you to fill that in, go ahead and fill that in. These men had different foundations. They would look like Siamese twins on the outside, like I said, but behind closed doors, you didn't know that there was just this weakness in their life. It says, the wise man built on the rock, the foolish man built on the sand. It's all about the foundation. It says that the wise man, when he does that, it causes a strength in their life. While both men have the same vision, they did not have the same foundation. They didn't have the undergirding, the underpinning, if you will, of their dreams, of their training, of their trials. They weren't the same. Their characters were different. And that's where you start to see the difference come in. So what's the difference between building on a foundation of rock versus sand? I want to know, I asked myself this, what were these two people thinking that made one wise and one foolish? Well, we get the answer over in the book of Luke. It's the same story written in the book of Luke. It's up there. Let's read this one together. You ready? Go. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. Now, what I want you to catch is the beginning there where it says, he is like a man building a house who dug deep. That's how we can know. What's the difference between the fool and the wise person? The wise man dug deep, because he knows that he needs a strong foundation. It says the wise man did that. It costs, by the way, to build on rock. It costs more to build on rock than it does to build on sand. So if you're going to build a strong foundation, it will cost you more. Just for fun, I am not a builder. I'm not a contractor. I don't know any of that stuff, okay? But I thought, just for fun, don't hold me to these numbers. I was just kind of surfing the web, okay? Which can be dangerous. But I said, what is the price per square foot for rock? And it came up with $271. What is the price per square foot for sand? $1.48. Now, I don't know if that's an accurate number. I'm just telling you what I saw. But even in what I just saw there, huge difference, right? Yeah, you know, with rock, it's going to cost you more. You can tell where I'm going with this a little bit. You parallel that into your walk with Christ. Yes, it's going to take a little bit. It's going to cost you a little bit more. But when the storms come, do you want to stand through the storm, or do you want them to huff and puff and blow your house down? Because storms are good for that. To build on rock is going to be harder than building with sand, by the way. So it's going to require more work. It costs time and energy and effort. It costs additional funds if you're going to dig deep. If you're going to dig deep, you can be quick about it on sand, but you can't go too fast on rock. The difference between the two men is rooted in the fact that the second man, the foolish man, was building a house for show. That's the difference. The man building his house on the rock was building it to last. That's the difference. You know, if you were to go, I used this illustration before, but if you were to go over to Italy to see the, Italy, to see the Leaning Tower of Pisa, I'm not saying don't go see it. I'm not saying, you know, it's a wasted trip. But all I'm saying is do you know why the tower is leaning? They didn't build it that way. They built it. Pisa actually means marsh. They built it on marshy ground. And so the thing, they built it, and they're like, look what we did. Every so often, every year, I believe, it was moving 1/120th of an inch. 1/120th of an inch. And if they didn't do something to correct that, eventually it was going to fall over. Why? Because the foundation was weak. The foundation was marshy. All that the, again, I'm not trying to bash the Leaning Tower of Pisa, but all that tower became good for was for tourists. People came by, looked at it, and went, wow, and then left. And that's all that they did. You see, our life, our home, our ministry, our families, when they're not properly founded, the danger is they can only become good for tourist attractions, trying to keep up with the Joneses, trying to have all the stuff so it looks like or appears that we're doing well. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. Because I'm not trying to touch nerves. I'm saying the foundation is so important here. I could take you to Hollywood, and we could see a lot of actors and actresses that appear to be having great lives, but are they really? Who knows? Because we don't know what their foundation... You don't even have to go to Hollywood. You can go right here in town, find people. Are they really happy? Do they have that foundation of a relationship with Jesus Christ, or is it just keeping up so that the tourists that go by go, ooh, ah. You know what I mean? That's where we have to make a decision in our life. When it comes to erecting something that will last, we're going to have to dig deep. And here's the next observation I made when I was going through this. These two men, they experienced different results. They experienced different results. They had vision, they had the divine truth, the same storm, but we noticed they had a different character, they had a different foundation, and because of that, they had a different results. Verse 25, the house did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Verse 27, the winds blew and beat on the house, the sand house, and it fell, and great was its fall. The biggest contrast of them all is the results, because it says one house stood and another fell. Not only did it fall, but great was its fall. That means total destruction. It was totally wiped out. Well, what is it that the Lord wants us to learn from this then, besides just, you know, having a good foundation? What's his point? Well, you have to notice in the text here, if you were to drive, it's kind of saying, if you were to drive by both men's homes, you would discover, or you would not discover that there was any differences. The one who built on the stone, the one who built on the sand. If you were to talk to the men, you wouldn't see that there was any differences in their foundation because they would, you know, talk a good talk. You wouldn't see a difference. The only time that you would discover that there was a difference between those two men was during the storm. Only the storm reveals the nature of your foundation. You see, as long as the sun is shining, you're not going to think about what you're built on. You may care about it, but you're not going to really understand it until all of a sudden the storm shows up in your life, because the storm has a way, and we've experienced storms, we've already clarified that, right? The storm has a way of letting you know what kind of foundation you're resting on. It has a way of letting me know when I go through a storm what my foundation is on. Notice the language in both cases. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, burst against the house. Whenever you have rain, floods, wind, and houses being knocked down, that's what we call a hurricane, right? That's a hurricane that's going on. Hurricane season came and went. And I wish I could say that the Christian life was easy peasy with no storms whatsoever. But according to the text right here, there was a hurricane. There was. And these are two men that wanted to follow Jesus. And the storm came. Nature was unleashed. The rain and the winds blew. And when that happened, it revealed the character. It revealed the foundation. Because the one that was built on the rock, his house stood. The one built on sand, gone. Blew away in a matter of minutes. So what do we need to learn from that? That next bullet there, write this down. Our foundation, it must be formed before the storms come. It must be formed before the storms come. We have to understand something about foundations. You can't pour foundations when it's raining. I told you I'm not a builder. Has anyone here ever poured concrete? Anybody? Okay. Now, you guys, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the way I understand it is that you cannot pour concrete in the middle of a hurricane. Is that safe to say is true? And maybe you could try. I don't think it will end well because the water will wash it all out. Nothing will set and harden and become a firm foundation. And that storm's going to pick them rocks up, that gravel, and sling it at your head anyway, right? So you can't pour foundation in the middle of a hurricane. So if you and I wait until we run into a storm and then we say, oh, Jesus, please help me pour a foundation. You're in the middle of a storm. Well, Pastor, are you saying it's impossible then? God's not going to save me? No, I'll get to that in a moment. But let me first point out this. The best time to pour the foundation is before the storm or after when the rain has stopped. Sometimes some of the foundations, a lot of the foundation I have in my life, didn't come as a result of going, oh, that would be a good idea, Lord. I think I'll do that. It came as a result of, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And the storm hit me and I went, what were you saying, Jesus? And I went back after the storm. And I poured the foundation then. And I'm not saying that you can't pour concrete in the rain, but you know, drizzle or something like that. I don't know. I don't pour concrete. But the Bible doesn't say that the wise man and the foolish man built their house and along came a drizzle. It said along came a storm. And this storm was great. So when's the best time to pour the foundation? Well, before or after. What foundation are you going to have? If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it can start there. If you do, it doesn't mean that you never face storms. So what are you going to do in the middle of those storms? As a matter of fact, I'll go so far as to say, it's just me talking now, but when I became a Christian, I faced more storms. At least it felt that way. But you see, those storms, now because I had Jesus in my life, I understood that foundation became so critical and so important. I like how Jesus put it. He tells us a story in Mark chapter 4. He said to them, do you remember when Jesus got in the boat with his disciples and they crossed over? Jesus said this. He said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Remember that? Okay. So this helps us understand how to get things solidified in our hearts beforehand, before the storms come. He tells the disciples, hey, guys, let's go over to the other side. Everyone gets in the boat. Jesus grabs his pillow, hops on board with them, and the boat takes off. Jesus lays down his pillow, his cushion, they say in the Bible. I'll call it pillow. I'm sure it was an IKEA one too. And he laid his head down on it. That's probably what caused the storm. And he laid his head down on the pillow. He went to sleep. The storm rose. And the disciples are freaking out. They're like, oh, what are we going to do? The water's coming in the boat. And just imagine this. You're on the boat. You feel like it's going to drown. The storm's going to take you down. And Jesus is over there sleeping on a pillow. He's fast asleep. It says that they faced a lilap, a fierce gale. It was a strong wind. It was slapping water all around the boat, in the boat. These are seasoned fishermen, by the way. So it's not like they're not like me. You know, I'd be screaming out there if a few waves hit it, you know. But these guys know how to fish, and they're scared. And Jesus is asleep on the boat. And I found that so interesting because they felt like everything was in jeopardy. They were in a storm. Jesus was asleep. So the question, what good is having a God who goes to sleep on you? What good is it to have somebody who in the middle of your storm is going to pull out a pillow and lay his head down to sleep? Well, it's one who understands something about foundations. Because he said, remember at the very beginning, he said, let us go over to the other side, right? So when Jesus says, let us go over, that means it's a done deal. As a matter of fact, he was so sure of it, he brought his pillow. Have you ever gone on a flight that's been more than an hour and a half or 2 hours and somebody offered you a pillow? You know, maybe they don't do that now because of the whole COVID thing, which it's a whole other thing. But sometimes a stewardess would come and say, would you like a pillow? Let me translate what she's asking. Here's the interpretation. Are you planning to go to sleep? Because if you're planning to go to sleep, you'll want a pillow. Jesus was planning on going to sleep before he ever got in the boat. Jesus was planning on going to sleep before he ever faced the storm. And so the disciples are wigging out and they're screaming and hollering and, hey, you know, do you not care that we're perishing? And they wake Jesus up and they're all upset. And he says, what's going on? And they said, what's going on? Do you not see this around you? And don't you see the storms and don't you see the waves? And Jesus does something very interesting. He goes to the front of the boat. And when he goes to the front of the boat, he speaks to the storm. But I would have thought he would have said, storm, be still. But he didn't. He said, peace, be still. Why would he do that? Or why would he say that? Well, it's because, you see, he had told them, when we left the dock, I already knew what was going to take place. I already knew that storms were going to happen. I already knew we were going to face difficulties, but I didn't worry about it because I'm on the boat. And if you're with me, you're going to be okay. And you lost sight of that. You see, for a moment there, the disciples forgot who they were hanging around with. And storms have a way of getting you to take your focus off of God and focus on what's going on that seems to be bringing destruction in your life, doesn't it? God can tell you, you will prevail. You've got this. And then all of a sudden you get that bill in the mail and then the doctor calls you and then you get in an argument with your wife or your husband and then you start going, my world's falling apart. And you forget that God said, no, I told you. You're going to get through this. Well, why am I facing these storms? Well, maybe, just maybe, it's because he wants to reveal to you and to me what our foundation looks like so that we can do something about it. Now, here's the good news. If you find that any part of your foundation has sand in it, you can do something about that. You can replace it with the rock. You can replace it with Jesus. And sometimes it's challenging, but, you know, I always ask the question, why does God, and I think I put this in your outlines, why does God give us a storm? Why does he give you a storm? And the answer is it lets you know what kind of foundation you're standing on so that you can do something about it. It's only in a hurricane that you discover whether you're really hurricane-proof or not. When your windows and doors fly off, you learn from it. You do something about it for the next storm because there will be a next storm. There's a big difference between saying amen on Sunday and saying the same amen on Monday when life is challenging you. There's a lot of difference in worshiping God when all is well and worshiping God when all is wrong. Because I don't know about you, usually when I sing it is well with my soul, it's because something feels wrong. And I got to tell myself, it is well. I got to like talk myself into it, right? But the reality is this. Everything is well. Everything's good when you have that strong foundation. So if your foundation is sure, then it will be in the application, not merely the information. You'll find a strong foundation in doing what God says, not just hearing what he said. Remember, wise man takes what God says and applies it to their life. The foolish man hears it and says, and doesn't. The goal of biblical preaching, by the way, this is my opinion, I got to preface that. I believe, for me at least, the goal in preaching is not merely to inform the body of the menu that's out there, right? Here's the menu of the truth of God's word. I think it's to bring us to a place of partaking of the meal. You follow me? I think it's good that I tell you what's going on in here, but what's way better is not, I don't want to be, I think we need to together consume what God has for us. I think we need to be able to take that in and devour that, ruminate upon that, and let that be something in our life because you and I are going to face storms. And let me just say this. If you're in one of three places. You're either in a storm right now, have just come out of a storm, and I hate the third one, but one's a-coming. Yeah. And so whatever storm is coming in your life, the way that you prepare for that is by having a healthy foundation. What keeps you strong spiritually. It's what keeps you strong relationally. But know this, your foundation is so important because God knows how to build those foundations that withstand any storm that can come in your life. Story of a lady who was on a ship. She spent all this money to go on a cruise ship. And on these cruise ships, you know, they're built strong, they're built big. It's like a city floating on the water. And they ended up in a storm, and it was a bad storm. One that they've never seen one like that before. And I mean, this lady was getting mad. Things are rocking back and forth. People are getting sick. Tables are sliding back and forth. So she decided she was going to call the captain and register her unhappiness with this whole trip. By the way, before you're quick to throw rocks at her, have you ever called the captain of the ship to register your complaints or that you're not happy with how life is going? And she said, I just want to know, what is he thinking? They said, well, the captain can't come to the phone right now because he's busy navigating through this storm. Well, I just want him to know that I am displeased. I am unhappy at this whole experience right now. And why would he take us into the middle of a storm when he could have gone around it or done something else about it? And they said, we will pass the message along to the captain. A few minutes later, a lieutenant calls and says, listen, the captain can't call you back because he's busy navigating the storm, but he wanted me to relay something to you. First of all, he wants you to know that he's heard you, and he wants you to relax. Try to go to sleep because the captain will be up all night, so there's no need in both of you being awake. Secondly, he said, you need to know that this ship, when it was built with these kind of storms in mind. Long before we ever hit the storm, long before we knew this day was ever going to come, we knew there was going to be a day when we would face nature at its absolute worst, its most vicious level. So way back when this ship was built, they put it together with this kind of storm in mind. So this boat is structured in such a way that you will be safe. Yes, it may be inconvenient. Yes, it may be irritating. Yes, it may be aggravating. And while it might even be traumatic, the storm that you go through, you will make it through because this has been made shipworthy. You see, when you build a foundation in Jesus Christ, he says, that kind of foundation is shipworthy. It was built and deposited within you by his Holy Spirit way before you ever knew a storm was coming. And he gives you that stability, like the ballast on the bottom of a ship. It is so big and so heavy so that a ship won't tip. He says, I will give you that ballast of my Holy Spirit in your life. So when the storm comes, nothing can knock you over. Nothing can take you out because of that strength. But that only comes when you have a firm or strong foundation. Now, I don't know what storms you're facing today. I don't know what storms are going on in your life. You're, like I said, you're either in one now, just come out of one, or you're getting ready to go in one. But the Savior was built with the storms in mind that you face. He is your foundation, which involves the truth of God applied to the realities of your life and to the realities of mine. Foundations are not merely they're not merely just the information to stand on. The Word of God is not simply to have a Bible under your arm or to have it on your coffee table. I put a question in your outline. What made the difference between these two men? Here's the answer. Both heard, but only one did. Both heard what was the wise thing to do, but only one of them did it. One of them heard, this is the truth, the divine truth. Build on this. And the other one heard that was good, but said, no, I got a shortcut. I can save some money. I can save some time. I can save some heartache. I'll do this. But when the storm came, he was completely destroyed. When it comes to a relationship with Jesus, I'm just simply posing to you today. Where are you at? And what's the Holy Spirit speaking to you? Is there areas, pockets in your foundation that maybe Jesus wants to gird up and strengthen? I wish I could tell you that hearing God's word, receiving that means no storms in your life, but that would be a lie. As a matter of fact, it couldn't be further from the truth. What I can tell you is this, that when you're adhering to God's word, it means that whenever storms come into your life, they will not have the last word. They will not. When I was a kid, I used to have a toy, little kid. You probably had one too. I don't know what they're called, but they're like a punching bag. They're inflatable. And they're heavy on the bottom. Water, sand in the bottom. You know the ones I'm talking about? So when you hit them, pop, that thing will go down, stand back up. Pop, it bounced back up. You kick that thing, man. Send it across the room. That thing would bounce back up. You know, you could give it a combo. Bap, 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 bap. And that thing, just bounce right back up. You know, unless you come at it with some kind of an object and pop it, that thing would always pop right back up. And I wish I could tell you that life had no difficulties awaiting you. The bed of roses from here on out. You don't need to worry. Just be happy. But the Bible doesn't tell us that. God doesn't tell us that. Jesus doesn't tell us that. The Holy Spirit doesn't tell us that. So we shouldn't be telling you that. But what you can tell yourself or your family or your circle of influence is that when storms in life come and they knock you down, bam, you'll come back up. It doesn't matter if life throws a combo at you, bam, 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 all that, you'll come back up. Got a call from the doctor, I got a bill in the mail, I get, you know, whatever it is, bam, 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 the world keeps hitting you. When you have a strong foundation, you will always center back up. When all hell breaks loose on you, you know, hits you, you pop back up. Why? Because greater is he that's within you, firm foundation, than anything else in this world. That only comes in a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you don't have that, you can. If you're here today and you're saying, I've got a relationship with Jesus Christ, but I'm kind of reevaluating, because I don't know if I said it this service. I say in funerals a lot, to moments like these that we stop and reevaluate what life is all about. And I thought to myself one day, why do we wait till funerals to say that? Maybe that'd be a good question to ask right now. Maybe that'd be a good thing to focus on right now. Why don't we just stop as believers who love Jesus? We're secure in our faith. We're saved. We're going to heaven. If we understand that, it doesn't mean that your foundation is completely 100% strong. So Lord, would you show me where I've got some weak spots? Would you reveal that to me? Would you help me to reevaluate those areas so that I can have that firm foundation? That is my prayer for you today, so that we can stand strong in the midst of any storm we face, in Jesus' name, amen. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you that you love us so much and that your grace is never, never ending. And Lord, it would be foolish for me to talk about how great foundations are and not give an opportunity to ask this question, that while everyone's here, maybe you're here today and you need to make your relationship right with God. You need to ask him to come into your heart. You need to renew that, refresh it, whatever that means. Are you here today and the Holy Spirit has spoke to you and you need to respond to that? I'm going to give you an opportunity. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out, but do you need to make that right once again with Jesus? If that's you, just simply raise your hand that I might agree in prayer with you. And today you can have that. God sees your hand. He sees your heart. And know this, that as he places that within you, that verse, greater is he that's within you than anything in this world, is not just a verse that's been spoken, but it's a reality he wants to bring into your life. Walk in that reality. Is there any of the hearts here today? I'll wait for just a moment. Okay. Then I'll simply ask this as I pray, as I close. For those that are watching online, for those that are here today, Lord, I ask that whatever storms we're going through, that, Lord, you would help us to focus on you, to focus on your words, so that no matter what storm comes in our life, if you're asleep on the pillow, that, Lord, we'll lay down next to you. That, Lord, if you're leaving a situation, that, Lord, we will follow you. That, Lord God, you would lead us in a way and help us to build that foundation in our life that will stand strong through any test or trial we go through. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen, church.